Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about faith, hope, and love. And we've been talking out of Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at that today. And we talked about faith. Ryan brought a great message last week on faith. And we've talked about hope. And hope is, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith works through love. Faith and love have to work together. But now look. In between that, there's a period, and it can be a struggle, it can be difficult, but that's where you need hope. And the hope gets you to the love. The love is the goal of God in your life, in every area of your life. And we're going to talk about that today. So it's important to understand this love, because it's just a powerful thing. So we're going to be on this topic of the love of God for a couple weeks. So go with me to our vision, Tim, and then we're going to go to Hebrews or our foundational scripture after that. All right, let's speak the vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. All right. So we've been talking about the heart and what we're centering our lives around, and that's what God calls us to center your life around Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's what He's trying to do, produce love in all of us. And as that is coming to fulfillment, we're coming to know who we are and what God's plan and purpose for our life is, and it brings fulfillment in our life and purpose, because we're doing His purpose. We're fulfilling His purpose because we're becoming who He created us to be. And so you do that by centering your life around Him. And you're going to be tested, says the Lord, tests the hearts. Remember, you wake up in the morning, got three enemies, right? World, flesh, and the devil. I told them last service that our biggest enemy is not the devil, it's our pride. And that is connected to the world. See, pride is conventional wisdom. It's connected to the world. So we want to grow and fulfill God's will. Amen? Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord, that our hearts are good soil and that You would plant Your word in our hearts and it would produce fruit that would advance Your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. So, let's go to Hebrews 10:22, if you would. We'll just go through this real quick. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith." See, there's our faith. See, in this portion of Scripture, the faith, hope, and love are in there. And this is really a depiction and a picture of the church assembling together. And this is why those three, when they're working in the body of Christ, it's affecting all of us, and we're becoming healthy and whole so we can fulfill God's plan and purpose in our life. Now, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, that evil conscience, that's why we don't want to entertain all that mess. You see that? The word evil, the word evil itself, it encapsulates everything from the fall. You see that? Everything from the fall is in that one word evil. So that's why we don't want to be promoters of that. Amen? And I'm not being religious. You think I'm being religious? I'm not. That's not being religious. That's being smart when you begin to see things. Okay. Now look. Having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast. Remember, the word hold fast is to hold on like your life depends on it. The confession of our hope. The word confession is homo logo. It's a Greek word, homo logo, which means same. Homo means same. Logo means word. Hold fast to the word that God has said to you, as though your life depends on it. Now watch. For he who promised is faithful. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God, if God promised it, you can hold on to it, and it's going to show up in your life. He does not lie. He cannot lie. He will bring it to pass, and he is faithful. Now look at this. And let us consider one another. Remember, the word consider means to think and ponder upon deeply. So in other words, we see people, and they're going through something, they're hurting or whatever. We should pray for them. We should consider them and really be concerned for them. See that? Now watch. One another in order. Remember, the word order is the word taxis or taxidermy, which is you get a fish and take it to a taxidermist, and they'll put it on a plaque, and it looks like it just jumped out of the water. Well, the whole idea is that it wants to look alive. So this is what he's saying. I want the church to look alive. See this? And this is what he's saying, in order. Now watch. In order to stir up. Remember, the word stir up means to irritate and stimulate. Some of you are going to be irritated and stimulated when you come in here. But it's for love. You're stimulated and irritated. Some of you got irritated at what I've shared already. But you'll get over it. Yeah, you will. It's for love. See this? Now look. Stir up love and what? This word love is the agape, and this is what we're talking about today. Remember, we saw faith, we saw hope, and now love. That's what we're talking about today. And good works. So the good works that you do will come out of your relationship with God. When you have a good relationship with God and you're walking with God, what you do will come out of that. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that you were created, that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that you should walk in them. God had good works for you to do before you even showed up on the planet, before you were born. See that? How do you discover them? Through his love. You discover how to do those good works through his love. And his love is different than the world's love. His love is unconditional. And we're going to talk about that today. Okay, give me the next one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The day, D, is the Lord's return. So we should be doing this on a daily basis till Jesus comes back. Because he's coming back for his people. Amen? And so this is what he's called us to do. So now, because we're talking about love, I'm going to ask you to go to your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And those of you who brought your Bibles, your iPhones or your iPads or whatever you have, 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't have anything, just keep your eyes on the Word up here, right? So let's look at this. This is the love chapter, the agape love chapter. I preached from this this first service, and someone said, they just got married, and they used this. And so this really was, they said it really helped them to hear this today. And I'll watch. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, this is talking about the agape love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Think about that. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I looked up that word nothing in the Greek. It means no thing. That's what it means. Nothing. Watch. Give me the next one. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that means, you know what? You can live your life every day helping out the poor. I mean, you could everything you have, give it to them. But if love is not the motive, and it's not out of that relationship with God, which He calls you to the assembly of God, if it's not coming out of that, it's empty. It means nothing. The only credit you're going to get is when somebody tells you how good you are. And that's pride. Now look, and though I give my body to be burned, man, you can give your whole life, burn, you know, whatever. It means nothing. Now look. But have not love, it profits me nothing. The word profit means what's left after the exchange. There's nothing left. Even though you've done all that, it means nothing if love is not in there. Now watch. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Woo-hoo-hoo. Love thinks no evil. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You're not to be thinking evil. Ever. Love doesn't do that. I love you. Okay. We'll see. See what I mean? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Now look, perfect means maturity there. So God is developing us and maturing us in His love. This chapter is what this is all about. And watch. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, which is speaking of maturity, When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is, say it, love. That's talking about the agape love. All right. So, go back to the first verse in there, if you would, Timothy. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Now, Paul was addressing Corinth. Corinth was a city, and it was the major hub of worldwide commerce. And there was a lot happening in this city. And there was pagan worship in the city. A lot of religion and a lot of stuff going on in the city. And what they would do is they would worship in these pagan temples, and they would beat drums, and they would beat these cymbals constantly. And that's what Paul's using to say, you guys have no love in what you're doing. He was starting a church. If you look in Acts 18, you can read about it. Paul was starting the church at Corinth. He called it the Church of God. I'll let you know where some people that you see Church of God, that's where that comes from. He was starting the Church of God. And so here's the idea. He was using this as an example because it was so familiar and so common to everyone that it was able, he would use that to teach. Now, think about this. That's a bunch of noise, isn't it? But you see, that was going on around the clock in Corinth. That's a lot of noise, isn't it? Paul's saying that's what you, with your religion, because it lacks love. It's noise. See that? It's noise. A bunch of noise. It's empty. Paul was addressing problems and pressures and struggles in Corinth from the pagan society because they were full of factions, lawsuits, immorality, questionable practices, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all these things he was addressing. And he says, if you don't have love in there, it's empty. It means nothing. And that's what he was saying. Paul was unimpressed with these people and their level of spirituality. They were bragging about their spiritual lives. They would beat these drums and these cymbals, and they would get into this frenzy, this ecstasy. You ever go to churches and they just, I mean, they just get you all wound up. And you ever been there? I've been to churches like that. And then they just get emotional. There's no real content, but it's just an emotional thing. Well, that's what they were doing times 10 in Corinthian, in the Corinthian church. And Paul was trying to bring some clarity to this. He says, love is missing. Love is missing. Now, he used that to demonstrate there was no love. And it also, those symbols, they would bang these cymbals and blow these horns, and it was the announcement of a war. Announcement of a war. So before there was a war, they would do all this banging and all this noise, and it was to tell the people, it's time to get your arms and get ready. We're going to war. You know what that's saying? That's saying in your home, in your house, if you're always at odds, always arguing, you're always at war. There's no love in that. Strife. See, that's what that's saying. If you're always warring with your spouse or warring with people, even with your boss, wherever, you're always arguing with people, that's a bunch of noise. There's no love involved in that. Is this making sense? So you don't want that. You know what? And if your children see that, they won't want anything to do with it. If there's just strife and arguing and fighting all the time, it causes your children to rebel. And Paul was making it clear that this is not acceptable because the love of God must be there. So, they would, in these temples, they would take drugs, they would drink wine, and that's what they were doing, partying and dancing to all this noise and calling it religion and talking about God with it. But God had nothing to do with it. So, in verse 4, he says, love suffers long. Love suffers long. Love suffers long. So, The word suffer means affected by the experience. So how are you affected by the experience, what you're going through? But also, it's long suffering. So the Bible says in 1 Peter that the Lord is long, in chapter 3, the Lord is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's long suffering toward us means he puts up with a lot. And he will put up with a lot. I know he puts up a lot with me. And guess what? I know he puts up with a lot with you too. Are you with me? And so there's long, but you see, that's the way he wants us to be towards people. And that has to be developed. It just doesn't happen naturally. Remember, it's agriculture. Remember I taught you on that? It doesn't grow there normally. It has to be developed through faith and to grow in you, that love. Now, it says it suffers long. Now, the love we're talking about here is the unconditional love, the agape love. Agape love is not based on response, but on a decision. So in other words, if I'm in agape love, how you're treating me doesn't determine if I give you love. You can be treating me wrong and using me and speaking against me and saying things again, but I'm going to give you love. Agape love. See that? That's what that's talking about. You can't do that on your own. You have to have God involved in your life and be dependent on God in order for that to take place. You see that? So, this love is not dependent on how you treat me. I'm going to give you unconditional love in spite of how you treat me. That puts you in a position of power. You see that? God gives you power when you do that. That's a powerful thing to understand it. But it doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional and you have to have a relationship with God. And it's long suffering. It's not, another word for that is patience or forbearance. You know, I was thinking about this week while I was preparing for this. And I was thinking about my dad came on my mind a lot. Because you know, you love your dad. And I remember my dad trying to get my attention a few times in life towards the end of his road. You know what I mean? And I kind of didn't give him a lot of attention because I had a hang-up. See, listen to me. We get hung up and we are loyal to dysfunction. We're loyal to that because it's familiar. And so we'll be loyal to that when God's love is calling you out of that to functionality, to reality. See, that's what God's love does. It calls you to reality, to be who you really are and what he's created you for. That's what his love does. It brings that out of you. And so I was thinking about that. And in my mind, you know how you, I don't know if it works that way with you, but the Holy Spirit just shows me my whole life. You know, just gives me a picture of everything where I've been, my whole journey. And I was looking at that, and I remember I was raising my kids, I was working full time and overtime to take care of my family, and my dad would come around, and I would just kind of give him secondary treatment, you know what I mean? Times he wasn't a priority, it was just, but I could tell as I thought about it, he wanted to be. And then I thought about me and my own son, and I like to have that connection with him and how much it means to me. So now, think about this. So, I thought about, I remember in my mind, I was remembering, and I got to pitch the first baseball game under the lights at Kitty Hawk elementary school when I was a kid. And I practiced, and I had a tire hung up on my fence, and I would throw the ball in that tire, go get it, come back, throw it. And I was I was pretty good. And I remember I was under the lights, and I remember my neighbor behind me, "Oh, Freddie Gilmore, you ain't got nothing," hollering, screaming at me, "You couldn't pitch this, you couldn't pitch that." And I, you know what, I just ignored that. I kept seeing that tire. Struck his butt out under the lights. I mean, you know, I was in fifth grade, and I was good. My dad was nowhere to be found. And that just, that got on me. And so I kind of held that over him a little. And I, you know what, I gave up on baseball because I didn't have anybody saying, "Come on, you can do this," you know. And, you know, I'm not blaming him, but I'm just saying all that has a reason and a purpose. But then I was in high school, and I was a freshman, and then I got this homecoming thing where they, you know, they vote for you to be the homecoming court. And I'm out on the football field with this young lady that had some scruples, and I'm out there half drunk. Now, listen, young people. That was before Christ, so, and I had some problems. I'm trying to show you this. So that's not acceptable. So I'm out there, and you know, and he was not there to support me. And I kind of thought about that. And it's like I always held that over him, is that he was never there for me, so I'm not going to have time for you. So he gets to a place in his life where He had to have an operation, and he got wounded in the service. He was in World War II, and he got wounded and lost one of his kidneys. And so I'm thinking about all this, and so now he doesn't have a kidney that'll work. His other kidney shut down. And so now he needs somebody to take him to dialysis 3 days a week. So my mom didn't drive, so now that's me or my sisters. I remember I was like, I gotta do this now. I got all this going on. And I started taking him. But as I was taking him, the Lord was showing me, look what all he put, look at how he provided for you. He never drank. He never drank with none of that. He never drank anything. He stayed with his family and took care of his family by himself, four kids. And made sure we were taken care of. And I got this little thing about trying to hold it over. Are you carrying this? Are you seeing this? And so the Holy Spirit showed me, man, my dad is awesome. You know, it's like, I was full of myself. I was a believer too. And it's like that got off of me. And I couldn't wait to get my dad. I made sure I was there. He would get in my truck, and it wasn't nothing to speak of. He'd say, "This is the best truck I've ever been in." And I remember just, man, he made me feel so good. And I was just glad to take him to dialysis. For 3 years, I got to do that. I got to talk to him and get to know him in a way that I wasn't if I had held on to my dysfunction.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say